You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. And that is even all one as if she were shaven. If the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image of the glory of God. The woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it commonly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. Oz, at the outset, we want to pause just for a minute here to acknowledge this grace that's extended to us, and thank you for your faithfulness in meeting every challenge. May we have a discernment to measure up, particularly today, because of the subject matter and because of its importance in our own personal lives. At the same time, may it bring great honor to your great Son as you energize us of your Holy Spirit, as the song says, to breathe on us from on high. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to take the things of Christ now and bring them like a flame into our life, in order that we may be made closer in our relationship and fellowship with you. Honor thy great Son to these ends, Father, as you bless us today, and thank you for attending to this, because we'll ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. For the one or two that have not been here in this series of studies, bear with us as we try to bring our thinking together. This particular letter was written to a church at Corinth, a people who had come out of a pagan background, a people who were steeped in their own habits, and it expresses itself throughout this letter. They were an intellectual type of folk, sort of like we of the 20th century. That's why it becomes so apropos. At least they thought they were. And that's sort of like us, too. It was quite the thing to be able to speak like a Corinthian. In our 20th century society, it's quite the thing if you can speak the King's English real well. In fact, I know that when you hear an eloquent man speak, The people all come up and say, oh, wasn't he wonderful, you know. That's what they look at, you see. Not the substance, but the delivery. I hope we can produce both. I'm not knocking the other. In other words, God doesn't put a premium on ignorance, but nevertheless, we shouldn't get so involved in that. Not the Corinthians were that kind of folk. They'd come from a background where they'd been followers of the great masters of philosophy. Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, and Athenagoras, men of this caliber. And they were giants in their fields. At this particular writing, though, these men have been dead for several hundred years. They're just hashing over old things, sort of like we are today. It's amazing when you go down to the bookstores, all you find is a bunch of things hashed over that they're not really any new work at all. It's just hashing over old things. They say this book becomes so apropos when you begin to realize it. It was a very permissive society. Men were followers of men. And the habits of the Greeks were to do that. And they had become followers of men. Some said that they were of Paul. Some said that they were of Apollos. Some said that they were of Christ. Some said that they were of Peter. Some were just purists, you know. They a cut above, so to speak. Things have not changed very much. In fact, if there is a change, it's for the worse, not for the better. It's a sad commentary because after 2,000 years, the light that's available to us that even these folk didn't have, it's sad. And our lesson today deals with this problem in a very realistic and a practical way. Some people have felt that Paul was a woman-hater. Of course, I don't know what his personal feelings were. But their fight is not with Paul. Their fight is with God. Paul simply wrote what he was energized of the Spirit of God to write. So if you have a fight, don't fight with Paul. Your fight is with somebody else. And if I say something that you don't like here this morning, your fight is not with me. If I stay within the confines of the Word of God, your argument is with somebody much higher than me. But there are three verses in our lesson today that give us the key to what is Paul and through the Spirit is calling to our attention. In verse 3, verse 10, and verse 16. Verse 3, of course, has been reversed in the 20th century. Academically, as a saint, you can agree with verse 3. I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. What we're saying, in effect, the word head, I think, is a very misleading thing. It isn't just something stuck on your shoulder. The word head has to do with source or government or authority. The authority of Christ is God. The authority of the man is Christ. The authority of the woman is the man, or the source of their authority, so to speak. This is what we're talking about. Now, this is God's order of things. And when you misorder things, then you begin to see the chaos that results. Today, instead of man exercising a headship, he has forfeited that. He's become the tail. And this, of course, is our difficulty. You see, the Christian religion, or rather I should leave the word religion off, Christianity, is a viral religion. It is a viral thing. It has principles that will not compromise one iota. It stands true. As we sing that song, Onward Christian Soldiers, How wonderful if that were a reality today, you see. And the man who wrote that, of course, he was living at one of the pinnacles of Christian history. And he was riding the crest of the wave. He thought everything was going to go fine, but he ignored one thing, the enemy. The scriptures tell us that things will not get better, they're going to get worse and worse. So if you came here for encouragement, let me assure you, you're not going to get any encouragement, because things are not going to get better, they're going to get worse. The old boy said, I can't believe that. Well, you better believe it, because that's what the scriptures teach us. The only thing of it is that as matters get worse, we have somebody who will go into the battle with us. He's not going to do away with our problems. He's going to solve and work with us in our problems. So it's not going to be all up downhill all the way. It's going to be uphill all the way. It's a hard thing, particularly now that people have been brainwashed to the place that the order of God's purpose has been reversed. No longer does Christ become the head of a man. In this room right here, every authority that you exercise as a man should come through Christ. Think about that. Every authority of a woman should come through your husband, the man. Incidentally, this word woman and man here has to do with husband and wife. It's not the common word for man, not the common word for woman. It has to do with a wife. Now, if you're not a married woman, then, of course, your headship remains with your father as long as you're single. But the headship is what really counts. Authority to act should come through the head. Christ never did anything except the Father's will. Always. No saint of God, no man of God should ever do anything apart from the authority of Christ. No woman should ever do anything as a saint of God apart from the authority of her husband. I was amused how this was carried out by the letter. 2 years ago, when we were traveling north from Jerusalem, we went through old Samaria. And the guide we had with us called our attention to this particular little town. All the women, the married women in that town, you'd see them out here, they do all the work. The men, they talk about liberation. They're liberated. They do all the work. These women, though, all had their husband's headgear on. It spoke of their authority, their right to be a liberated woman to do the work. It gives them a right to work. But they all had the headgear of their husband on. They really carried out to the letter. That's not what this is talking about. This is an outward thing. But what we're getting at here this morning is the recognition of authority. You see, beloved, one thing we've forgotten in this world, in this life, is that there is no authority that's not under authority. Let me repeat that. There is no authority that is not under authority. Every word I speak to you must be under authority, or it's just my opinion. And my opinion isn't worth a plug nickel. And that's pretty worthless. Nickel is not worth very much, but a plug nickel is worth nothing. And authority must be under authority. If you act or think, you must have authority for what you do. If you're ever in the army, you'll understand that. In a very realistic way. And so life is that way. It must be under authority. If we don't recognize authority, we have no authority. Today, the permissiveness of society would have it otherwise. They confuse liberty with license. To be a free man, the only free man is the one who recognizes authority. You see? This is the basic principle that we're talking about here. Now, in Greece, they were a very liberated people. They were intellectual, sort of like us. Pretty smart folk, you know. And they were carrying on in their traditional ways. They weren't particularly interested in adopting any new set of ways. They were just going on. We've seen in earlier chapters some of the ridiculous things that these people did. Now, as I said, there are three key verses here. We've been looking at just for a minute at verse 3. Verse 10, for instance. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. It's a very confusing thing to the spirit world. You see, the spirit world recognizes authority. When they see women who ignore the headship of their calling, it's a very frustrating thing to them. Now, to help you to appreciate that, notice verse 16. If any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. In other words, the things we're looking at here were the custom of that time. You have to look at the local color. Today, there are other ways in which women can, under our society, show their appreciation for the headship. Certainly the customs in that day call for something different. The customs today call for something else. It's not something to be contentious about, but it's something to recognize as a principle. Because when you confuse the spirit world, they're sent here as God's angels are sent here as ministers to you. Of course, the devil's angels are sent here for other purposes. But it must be very confusing even to them. The angelic world, we kind of forget these people. But they're around. In fact, the matter is, I suspect there are more of them here this morning than there are us folk. I don't know which side of the fence has got the most of them here, but there may be some from the enemy and some from other places, you see, too. But it's a very frustrating thing to them if they don't recognize in each of our lives our recognition of headship. And they discern us pretty well by outward appearances. That's all they have to go by. Now you think about this, you see what I'm saying. In that time, only women appeared in public with an uncovered head who were qualified as prostitutes. Now, can you imagine how the angelic world felt about this when they saw these principles being ignored in that society? Of course, ours is, if you help the custom of that day to this day as far as outward appearance is concerned, we'd all be prostitutes, I guess. I don't know what else you'd call us. So you have to consider the customs. That's what Paul closes the 16th, the customs of the time. What is concerned, what today constitutes the appearance of what's proper? Not what's the fad of the day. Don't misunderstand. There's a difference between fad and what's proper. You see, people who recognize what's proper in their appearances or recognize some sort of a order of things. That's what we're saying. That's what this is teaching us. And the spirit world who are sent here as our ministers, both from the enemy and from God, are affected by our appearances. That's what they go by. They listen to our conversations. They listen to our way of dress. They listen to the way in which we conduct our lives. And they minister accordingly. Think about that. You follow that to a conclusion. You see what I'm saying. I think you can begin to see the results of this failure in headship. Today, Christendom as such, as far as Christianity is concerned, is no longer a fact. Let me repeat that. Christendom today, as far as Christianity is concerned, is no longer a fact. We are not a testimony to the grace of God in the sense of using that testimony to the honor of God's Son. We have lost that testimony. We have failed just as surely as Israel failed God all through their history. We, as the called out body of Christ, have failed God. And the very reasons are very simple. It's because these headships, these authorities, are not kept in their proper order. In my short span of life, I can see the development of what's happened, even in my time. There was a time when I was a young boy growing up, if a man had acted toward a woman the way that he acts today, he would have, boy, I'm telling you, he just wouldn't have walked the streets. When I was growing up, don't misunderstand me, occasionally somebody got drunk. But if he did, he was an outcast. You see? When I grew up, I never realized as a boy that anybody ever questioned this book as to whether it was the Word of God or not. I didn't know anybody existed like that. That's how well this was, even in my lifetime. Today is challenged by the most smartest people we got. You see? They challenge this book. They say that they don't believe that this is the Word of God anymore. Why? Because of our testimony. Let me illustrate that in a very practical way. If John Wesley could come back to America today and walk into a Methodist church, the first thing he would take a whip and drive out the ministers of that assembly. If Martin Luther could come to America and see the Lutheran church, he'd burn them to the ground. You say, that's ridiculous. No, I'm not. A friend of mine is a member of a Lutheran church, and this last week, in a convention. You know what the convention was all about? Whether they were going to allow homosexuals and women to become priests, ministers in the Lutheran church. It split wide open. A part of it belongs to the National Council of Churches, which is exercising their influence to, mind you, if this is unbelievable, but it's a fact, to finance terrorists in Africa to no end. They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars financing these rascals in the name of Christianity. In Salvador, communists flying under the flag of the Roman Catholic Church are trying to undermine that government. The very Pope himself made a trip just last month to the Philippines. And if ever I saw an activist trying to upset the order of things over there, that man was. Yesterday morning's paper. Now this may stagger you, but you go home, if you got yesterday morning's paper, a whole half page. The Baptists, now above all people, you don't think the Baptists would be bad. Yet, the headline said that we're no longer square. You know why? Because they've initiated into their church, their program of relaxation in churches, square dancing. Okay, and when I was a boy, if the Baptists had ever done a thing like that, they'd whip the preacher and run him out of town. I was talking to a fellow here this morning. It was a former disciple of Christ. telling me that they got the same thing going on with that group, too. One after another. Why? The headship is not recognized. That's why. And the spirit world ministers according to our actions or reactions, you see. We forget that these folks are important. Look at that verse 10 again. The woman ought to have power on her head because of the angelic world. If she don't recognize the headship of her husband, that's a very confusing thing. Because the husband and the wife are to be one in Christ, you see. And the man's head is to be Christ. That's a very confusing thing. And the same thing is true about the man. You see, it's a very confusing thing to their world. And they are ministers. They're flaming fire ministers. Whether they be from the enemy or from God. I trust that the Holy Spirit energizing the angelic world here will open our ears this morning and not be have them shut because of the enemy. And since we prayed at the outset that God would take care of that, we're counting on Him that the Holy Spirit will get through to you to understand the importance of this subject. I'll be so bold as to say that if the proper order of things were recognized in America, we talk about all our economic problems, our moral problems, all our social problems, all these things. If the headship of God's people were recognized in the proper order today, we would shake the roots of this nation back to the things even in a greater way than our founding fathers did. Because there's many more people today than there were then. We could really turn not only America upside down, but the world upside down. We know it's not going to happen. Scriptures are pretty plain on that. So this is why we're told just to hold the ground. In the 6th chapter of Ephesians, we're told, put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, or spiritual wickedness in the high places. This is where the warfare is, beloved. It's not the fellow or woman that you like or dislike. It's the spirit world. That's where the war is. Make no mistake about that. That's who the enemy is. And he knows everything about us, everything that we manifest in our life, our weaknesses. Look at the habits of our life. I've got some lousy ones, too. This is a very confusing thing to the spirit world when they see these things. Now, all things are lawful for me because I'm under grace, but all things are not expedient. See? It isn't going to hurt me so much as it does the other fellow. It's his conscience, you see. He sees the hypocrisy of what's labeled as Christians everywhere he turns, and rightly so. Because it's our fault. The blame is here. It begins right here. You see? We can work for what's right from now till doomsday. But until it gets right here, it's mostly in vain. It reminds me of the old story. You read was a young lad in school, I'm sure. The story of Don Quixote. We're mostly fighting windmills. And there's not much profit in that. You see? If you don't learn anything else here this morning, you ought to learn this, that every fact of your life as a husband, a man, should be geared to the recognition of the headship of Christ in your life. If this were so, I think perhaps that the headship of the man or the woman would fall into its proper place. I really do. I don't blame the woman near as much as I do the man. Because he is the one that, after all, is where the breakdown is. The woman's called our attention because it's an outward thing here. But the principles are there. We've got to start acting like men. That means that we have to not only speak like a man, we have to have our appearance as men. Even nature itself, to wind it up, notice, as an outward thing. I realize it's only a physical out thing. But nature itself, Paul calls attention to it. It's a shame. Rather, it's a glory for a woman to have long hair. It's a shame for a man. His brother, Tom said this morning, back in the 60s, you couldn't tell the women from the girls, and you couldn't tell the girls from the dogs. And it almost has come to that. That's maybe stretching a little bit too far, but it's a fact, you see. And so it's that attitude, you see. This is the recognition, the lack of recognition of the proper order of things of God. And we've forgotten that. I thank God that I had the privilege of seeing both of my grandparents. One, when after I was a grown man, others up until my teenage time. And it was in their life that I saw the manifestation of authority. My father died when I was only about 8, 9 years old. My poor mother left alone to correct me, and she just wasn't up to the job of taking care of it. And I was a real rebel, you see. But I had some grandparents who believed in authority. I thank God for that. In fact, I preached my grandfather's funeral when he was 90 years old. It was one of the highlights of my life. So I've seen it. I know what the order of things are. And I must confess, I fall so far short of it. But at the same time, I must tell you the truth. And this is our difficulty today. Unless we can, and we can only do this as we take our lives individually and dedicate them to God, as Paul says in the 12th chapter of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, or the brain. Well, let God brainwash you. That's what we're talking about. See? If you really want things to shape up, and that does not mean you come to church on Sunday morning and that satisfies God. It's a privilege to come here, beloved, to worship. That's all it is. You see, it's your privilege. It's not an obligation. It's a privilege. It's during the week. There's where the battle is. And unless you're in this book every day, you wouldn't begin the day, today's walk, without eating physical, for your physical welfare. And yet, a much greater welfare is your spiritual state, and it's ignored because you don't get into the Word every day. And this is the only food that you can have, is right here. You see? If you're not in this book every day, oh, it's hard sometimes, I know, but the enemy don't want you in that book. One thing about it, if you keep in the book, see what I mean? The enemy loses his power and strength over you. But you stay away from the book, you get weak. When you're tired, you don't feel like taking up the book, that's the time to get in it. When you don't have the time, I'm rushed. I got to be to work in 15 minutes. That's the time to get in it. You know, how can I do that? Well, get up a half hour early. That's hard to do, isn't it? You're tired at night. You want you know you should be in it, and you're getting sleepy. What do? Well, get out in the kitchen, wash your face in cold water, and get back into it. It's hard sometimes. You have to bring yourself into discipline. You know why? Because we have become a people receiving things all the time. We've forgotten that we don't know how to think anymore. You think I'm wrong? How many hours do you spend in front of a television? You're just receiving it. You're not thinking. You're just receiving something. How many times do you sit and listen to somebody? Listen to me. There's no effort on your part. You're just receiving something. We've forgotten how to think. That's a little book we wrote on Elijah. People say, man, that's too hard to understand. Well, it's not hard to understand at all. See? Why? Because we've lost the ability to think. If you hold an audience for 30 minutes, boy, you're a master. I think back at our forefathers, a reading of Jonathan Edwards used to preach 3 hours at a time. And he was a very dull preacher. He had no emotions about him. He wrote all his sermons out and just got up and read them. Can you imagine anybody holding an audience for 3 hours a day that way? And yet, in Jonathan Edwards' lifetime, the stories say that when he read from what God gave him, people would take hold of the seats in the church and scream out for God's mercy. I tell you, they were people that took the Word of God seriously, you see. We become so academic-minded by receiving and never really plugging for ourselves until we've lost the ability to get along with it. I look at the scholars of 200 years ago. When they were in the 5th and 6th grade, they were masters, now mind you, of Latin, of Greek, and of Hebrew. Imagine that. Some of the great writers of 200 years ago were masters of these languages before they got out of high school. Not counting what they got in college. And today they can't even read the English language. In fact, we can't hardly speak it anymore. The dialect that is being used, for some of the young people, I have to have an interpreter almost to understand what they're talking about. You see? We've lost the ability to think for ourselves. Why? Because we've lost the headship. As far as the outward appearances of things, the 16th verse deals with that. The custom of the time is what really counts. What signifies today your recognition of headship as it was then? If you went out on the street, let me tell you this, ladies, had you lived back in that time, and you went out on the street like you are now, you would have been free booty for whoever wanted you. See? Think about that. The liberation women ought to thank God. They don't recognize God. I recognize that. But the reason they have the liberty that they have is because of this book. This book doesn't take anything away from them. It gives them something. Had you lived then and dress in the manner and act in the manner you do now, whoever warns you, that's it, period. They had to take you. And there wouldn't have been much about it. Because the authorities then recognized that women that appeared like we appear in the 20th century had no protection. None whatsoever. That's hard for us to grasp, you see. In the 20th century, customs have changed. But we need to recognize that the custom may have changed, but the principles of headship have not changed. They're still the same. You see? You may wonder why a ministering angel that's been sent to take care of your needs sometimes seems to fail. The fate is not his. It's the confusion that you created. Father, there's so much more to this lesson, and I recognize that the limitations of our humanity interfere. But we pray that the gist of what we've said will get through to the heart, that the Holy Spirit will energize your people to act accordingly. I want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share in these things, and we pray now that it not be in vain, and thank you because it will accomplish your purpose. And this is for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we ask it. Amen.
His day is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.